Doodle-doo.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, and intergalactic prairie studio 3. Alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep sinful estatism out of your head. Can you feel it, Dan Green? Can you feel it, Angela Keaton?
I feel it.
I can feel it. Although we're clearly not on as much speed as you are.
I blame the coffee.
Coffee.
Yeah, and I'm Jim Jesus. This is the Freedom Feeds is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. It allows reuse by anyone except government. So you can learn more at BIPCOT.org. So how are you guys doing today?
I'm good, Jim. I'm good.
Yeah, last time we were on the radio, I thought we were going to get fired. So this should be an interesting show.
I'm surprised we weren't fired.
Yeah. So you guys have given up on social media. Why?
Do you want to go first, Angela?
Oh, no, you go, go first. You go first, and then I'll really go. Like, go off, you know?
See, to be honest, I just kind of got sick of it after a while. I mean, like, it was... A lot of the people I have on my Facebook, like... There's two types of opinions, and both were starting to bother me, because, like, I would have people that I know, like, pretty much in real life around here, and then there would be all these things, you know, so many people I know are so leftist, and there would be all this nonsense on my newsfeed all the time. And then on the flip side of that, you know, I had a lot of people who were maybe sort of libertarians and stuff like that, and it was, see, when some news story would come up, like, anything at all, like, you know, take, you know, police killing someone or something like that, right? It would just, everyone would start posting their big long opinions on it, and it would just have to wade through everyone's opinion that was basically the same. And none of these people would bother to actually write a blog. They all just put big long posts on Facebook. So I, you know, I had to look through all these, and it was just basically everyone with the same opinion. So I was basically looking at the same post over and over and over and over again.
And then ISIS is terrible.
Do you know what bothered me as well? I found myself actually looking at it way too much at one point as well. I found myself, like, just anywhere, just in work in the van, I would have, like, I would be waiting for someone and have 5 minutes. I'd be like, oh, let's see what's going on Facebook. Oh, who's saying this? Who's saying? And then it started to really bother me that, like, I was just getting that obsessed with it, even though I wasn't enjoying it that much, but I couldn't put it down. It was really strange. It was like a destructive addiction.
Yeah, Facebook is definitely that. And the worst part about it is, like, I'm trying to check my updates, and I have so many friends who are constantly posting stuff to my thing, or constantly commenting on my things, or tagging me in conversations, that it's like I have to wade through all of the like, and you can't disable notifications for likes. So I'll have like 20 notifications, but only like 4 of them actually are saying something to me or saying something about me or anything that, you know, it's almost like, you know, 25 people liked your picture. I don't care.
Jim doesn't care if you like his stuff on Facebook.
No, I don't care.
If you wanted to be liked, you wouldn't have chosen to be a co-host on Freedom's Fiends.
That is true.
No, I just like to be hated.
That's the thing on Facebook as well, though. The thing was that sometimes I'd post something, and then, like, I would like know that really I didn't care if anyone liked my stuff, but then sometimes if I posted something that I thought was particularly good and I looked at it in, like, say 5 hours and no one had liked it, I'd go, well, what was wrong with that? You know, that guy put up something similar to that and nobody liked his, everyone liked his and nobody liked mine. And, like, and then I'd be like, why is this bothering me? Angela, why are you not on Facebook? Tell us.
Oh, gosh. Well, I got off of Facebook in 2013, and it was a real act of courage when, you know, you have 5,000 friends and you're the libertarian movement, because that means you haven't totally alienated most of the people in the libertarian movement the way most people do. Several reasons, but, I mean, it is the same way. I finally more or less discontinued my Twitter account. But in both cases, you know, I did write a lot of funny things and a lot of interesting... I did have some great insights, and I, you know, downloaded all that I could and saved all of that, and will hopefully use that to write a grown-up book someday instead of a, you know, a silly kid's blog that I do on and off. But the... There's a couple of things. One, my day job, it's at antiwar.com, which I'm not bringing here to the fiends. I'm just me here. But just saying, my day job is someone who's trying to build a coalition among all kinds of people, Christians, Buddhists, vegetarians, hunters, everybody wants to bring in a whole bunch of people. I don't want to be identifiably as anything. I just want to be as minimal a public figure as I can. I just want to be the best spokesperson for antiwar.com and not be like a personality in my own right that has my own opinions, because I don't want people to feel they have to adopt any of my preferences or any of Justin Raimondo's preferences or Scott Horton's preferences to be in the anti-war movement, nor do they have to be from a specific ideology. So I just think it'd just be better, you know, the less public I am about those things and just stick to my public presence being the work. And this way people feel welcome, so they don't feel that, you know, there's no victims of the culture war. I happen to be a feminist. I'm interested in feminism. Other people aren't. Some women are anti-feminist, but I don't want to scare any of those people off. So that's why trying to build a coalition. But also third, and this is, you know, one of those sad punk rock stories out of a long time era, but when I started, it was a pretty early adapter to all the social networks. I was married at the time, and it was someone who had lots and lots of problems.
Social media police are after you.
Yes, they're coming. They're coming for me now. I'm sure. It's like, but you know, this is in a previous incarnation of my life. I was married to one of these like bedraggled, haggard, screwed up looking, totally crazy punk rock type guys who was prominent in the movement. And like those kind of, you know, if you marry somebody who's like addicted to 14 different drugs and screams a lot, when you're young, that's kind of fun. But when you're older, you realize, wow, this person's trying to kill me, or oh my God, he's trying to drive the car into a pillar, or oh, you know, dear God, he's going to do God knows what to me. So, you know, I'm not in that situation anymore, but all my social identity was from that time, and I found that most of the time I'd be going about my business, but then I'd see people linking to this guy I used to be married to his work or something, and I get so full with anger because I think, you know, I don't believe in prisons or jail, and I don't even go to lawsuits, so I don't even want to sue the guy or anything, so I have no real recourse in my own mental and Capistan. So instead of just randomly screaming about him when I get really full of rage, I just think it's probably unseemly and I shouldn't do it, and I think it's, you know, best if I, you know, keep a very low profile, and that's also a good way for me to shut out that past. So yeah, there it is. I mean, I'll miss all the Freedom as Fiends related tweets, but they're in my heart.
See, the thing about Twitter is I've still got a Twitter account, but I don't actually use it. I never really got into Twitter that much. It just seemed like, it just seemed like Facebook, but like way, way too much. You know what I mean? There's just way too much going on in Twitter. I could hardly keep up with it. I would go onto it and it'd be like, view 2,000 new tweets within like an hour. And it was way too much for me.
Yeah, I ended up having to like unfollow a bunch of people that I followed. I was like, oh yeah, Tom Woods, I'll follow him. Oh, I'll follow this. And then my feed is just cluster effed with just unreadable stuff. And I'm just having, okay, unsubscribe. You know, I can follow you on some other platform like YouTube, and I can just leave your tweets be tweets that I don't ever see unless someone retweets the good stuff. So that's the way I see it.
Mm. Yeah. I found Twitter too restrictive. I can't get things out in that small an amount of characters. It's too much of a challenge for me. I'm far too long-winded for that.
That's healthy. That's resisting the shriveling of the language. My ability to write is destroyed because of 140 characters or less.
It helps you keep more concise, I guess. And, yeah. I guess that's why Molyneux doesn't have a thing on there. He can't post an hour-long rant on Twitter.
You got Molyneux in the first section. Well done.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I feel nauseous now. Oh, I feel nauseous. What am I going to do?
So start making that a competition to see who can mention Molyneux first.
I win. I will try again in the second hour. But, yeah, I like Twitter. But, like I said, even after I've unfollowed all of those people, it still can become way overwhelming. And it's only 140 characters, but a lot of time they're linking to other things that are very long-winded. Like, oh, read my blog post about the ISIS terror attacks. It's like, Next tweet. Oh, read my long-winded blog on here. Can you just say something funny?
No, it's people are against pure funny. You can't do that. No one wants that anymore. Number not all has very earnest times. But you know what? As a second-generation libertarian, as a proud libertarian, I never want to see any more tweets from my fellow libertarians ever. I want to know so much less about my friends and acquaintances and allies and donors and relatives in the movement.
Yeah. It's always great when you're like, oh, I really look up to this person, and then some terrorist attack happens, and they're like, ah, see, look, it's a crisis actor. Ah, look at this. This is, why did the passport not blow up? It's like, unfollow.
But it's almost worse than that, though. I mean, you don't want to find out that your favorite historians and your favorite economists have the most cliched, hard rock 1970s middle of the road kind of music taste. I mean, I love Rush too, but I don't want to like go out there and start. You know, it's just a little, it's a little bit much. Oh, yeah, there's several guilty people. I can make a list from several major organizations of the Rush offenders. Yeah. There's a whole team of them.
I like Steve Horowitz sometimes. Sometimes you can be a little. Do you? But Rush. It's the only thing. Like, do you even Primus, bro? Like,
I mean, like, I don't want to be hurtful, but who wants to be the one who gives Tom Woods hell about how much Rush uses the bumper music on that damn show? I mean, I'm sure I'm going to get punched for that. But
it's only a few seconds of his podcast, but it's an otherwise good podcast. I like Rush, but yeah, I've heard it too much.
I do too. I know. I really can respect and appreciate Rush, even in an unironic, purely rock critic sense. Mm-hmm. But as a libertarian, I just think I should be doing less things like that in public and act more like a normal human being. Mm-hmm. Libertarians will do better when they start acting like normal people and not all be freaks all the time.
Are you trying to say that normal people don't like Rush?
No. That's normal people do like Rush. I'm just saying we shouldn't be cliches.
We should all listen to Vaporwave.
I'm saying nothing about Norwegian black metal. Not anymore. I'm finished with that.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
In Survivor Max 2, School Bites, Maximus scavenged through a wasteland swarming with the undead. Desperate to find the medicine he needs, he discovers a community of survivors at his former school. Has he finally found the safe haven he's been looking for, or will he discover that School Bites? Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, and read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
Freedom Fiends, partially on Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, I ran into an interesting article, and I'm not a big fan of Gizmodo, but they wrote an article today about something the Freedom Fiends talked about yesterday, which was the anonymous war on ISIS. Have you guys heard about this?
I have, actually. Yeah, it's been on a lot of the newspapers lately.
Yeah. Well, apparently Gizmodo had wrote an article saying that they're just being dumb. This is me talking again. This is not the Freedom Fiends. I know Michael Dean would be like, no, don't do it unless you're talking. I'm talking from me. So, and Gizmodo, apparently. But this is from Gizmodo. This did not come as a surprise, but Anonymous is probably not going to rid the world of terror with this myriad ops, and I don't even know what they're talking about. In fact, the latest report indicates that the leaderless pack of hacktivists is not only incapable of disrupting ISIS, it seems that Anonymous is totally this one up. It's been a week since the Anonymous declared war on ISIS. Before long, multiple factions launched desperate attacks on the violent terrorist organization, the vast majority of which were attempts to shut down ISIS supporting Twitter. Now, I did not know this, but apparently Twitter has a staff of people who speak Arabic in order to delete and close accounts that are associated with known terrorist organizations like ISIS and Al-Qaeda and the likes. But so all of these supposed Twitter accounts that they have exposed as being ISIS accounts actually aren't, or they're closed already by the Twitter admins. And some of the other ones have either like have been saying things bad about ISIS and have been posted as ISIS supporters on their list as well. Another list of 4,000 accounts posted by anonymous members had and reviews by Ars Technica. I guess it's Ars Technica, includes Twitter accounts that have been posted messages sympathetic to ISIS, but the majority are, but in the majority, they are not specifically ISIS, or they're or accounts that are trolling ISIS, or others appear to be just merely Arabic Twitter accounts.
I mean, it's one of these kind of anonymous is one of these strange things because I mean, so many people claim to be part of Anonymous and this kind of thing. And I mean, we're talking about Twitter and you've seen it yourself. How many different, I see loads of different people claiming to be anonymous, from like someone being Anonymous News, someone being, I saw one called Arians Anonymous who were like, it was something like that. And I can't remember exactly what it's called, but they followed me for a while and it was like the Anonymous sort of, you know, the suit with no head and it had like a swastika above it and stuff like that. And it was just, I was like, why are you following me? Is that the kind of vibe I give out for some reason? Because if so, that's deeply concerning. It's just a kind of strange thing.
Yeah, I've had some weird followers and I'm like, oh, you're not going to like what I post. And sometimes I'll see people follow me and I'll specifically make tweets that like, well, I know that will upset them just so they didn't follow me. It's like, oh, a racist followed me. I better say something about black people. That's good. Unfollowed. Good.
I went through a period when when I used to do a podcast and we'd put out some things like critical of the National Health Service here, the socialist healthcare in the UK. And then there was at least two groups who were pro-NHS that started following us. And I was like, you clearly know nothing of my work.
Yeah. Let's see. So even the Twitter... even Twitter says that these lists of alleged ISIS-loving users are wildly inaccurate, unquote. The microblogging platform is well aware of ISIS threat and is to the extent to which the terrorists use the Twitter to spread destructive propaganda. However, smart people with better understanding of ISIS are waging their own campaigns, and Twitter has a review team with moderators fluent in Arabic who are dedicated to shutting down ISIS accounts. So, and then then Anonymous is falsely labeling people as members of ISIS for reasons, just reasons, I guess.
Just reasons. I mean, yeah. I don't know if some people have sort of good intentions in their mind when they do this kind of thing.
Like, oh, I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do.
Yeah. But, like, it's, I suppose it's one of those things where, like, you don't really, I mean, some Twitter accounts are clearly, you know, robots and things like that. And, I mean, you don't really know who's behind all these accounts, you know. It's, I mean, I prefer this kind of destructive propaganda, you know.
What's behind most of our accounts?
Bots. Follow bots.
Libertarians with bad taste. That's what's behind our accounts.
Listen to Moving Pictures. It's the best album ever.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Fiendbone. So Michael Dean fiend phoned in by text to tell me that I should give out the Lulberts URL when I criticize Anonymous, and I should. So Lulberts.com, L-O-L-B-E-R-T-S. That's where you can focus all your hate if Anonymous really does care, which I don't think they will.
Put yourself down, Jim.
So, Angela, why do you hate moving pictures? Like, what about Fly By Night?
No. Dear God. Okay, I feel like I have to now apologize to several movement leaders and to the movement at large and to Canada, our state up there, and Geddy Lee, who's clearly one of the best five bassists of all times. I'm sure the people make a case that he's the best bassist of all times.
No, Les Claypool
is. I duly apologize.
Les Claypool.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, he's the best.
These are the sorts of things, though, that if I start talking about how much I hate Led Zeppelin or something, I know I'll lose donors at antiwar.com. My day job will be affected because this is how libertarians are. They are very, very weird in particular. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm just letting go. I'm just going to disappear from the net, be like an internet ghost meme. I can be my own Anonymous. I can be flying around. I can be, doing silly things.
So if Tom Woods were to give a music recommendation that either would blow you away or make you happy, what would that be?
You know, we have a historian in the movement who forces Jethro Tull on people. Now, you'd think that would be the sort of thing we would sanction, but instead, no, everyone chooses to celebrate him. Jethro Tull. I want you to think about that and what that does to children's minds and the ears of anyone with sensitivity of that damn flute. You see? I don't know if we can say that, so maybe I can't damn the instruments on the air.
Do you know one thing as well? Like, you mentioned not liking Led Zeppelin, right? Why are a lot of people so down on Led Zeppelin, right? I know guys in my work, and they like the most awful hair metal, right? You know, Motley Crue and Kiss and Bon Jovi and all this nonsense. Ugh. And then you put Led Zeppelin on, and they go, that's crap, that's just... And you go, you're listening to Motley Crue?
You know what?
Are
but
you
Motley
deaf?
Crue has Motley Crue has theatricality and camp value to it. There's no camp value to Jimmy Page's stiff hand or those silly things that Robert Plant said that come out of his mouth that are supposed to be lyrics that are just idiocy and ramble, and it's horrible, and it makes me want to stab my radio if people still had radios, but they don't. So don't worry, I'm not going to hurt anything.
Come on. There's nothing good about Motley Crue. There's no justification for what they do. I went to their website one time, right? I went to their website. This is true, because they were doing this.
You don't like smoking in the boys' room? Come on. That's a classic, man.
Come on. They were doing this farewell tour, right? And I went to their website, right? And they were trying... It was all... See, if you read Motley Crue's website, I don't know who wrote it, right? But this guy must be the propaganda king of the world, because it was all this stuff about Motley Crue are an innovative band who have redefined themselves and all this. Like, no. They're just one of the worst poor excuses for music I have ever heard in my life. I'm sorry, I'm very down on Motley Crue.
I heard from somewhere that Chris Cantwell was in a hair band. I don't know where I heard that, but
you know, that's slander. That you, I mean, that's not very nice. that's horrible. That's a horrible thing to say about someone. Even that. It's horrible.
Cantwell, I'm mulling you in the first hour. You're on a roll, Jim.
So,
but what about
would
this?
Would you want Bob Murphy to sing karaoke?
Well, okay, let me tell you, never. Okay, never. God, no. I'm sorry. You know, I understand he did really important work on negative interest rates, but dear God, never again. I've been to several of those out of professional courtesy and out of solidarity with the anti-war movement, and all the leadership in the movement is anti-war. That's the kind of great activist I am. I show up at karaoke and not cry openly, because that's what I want to do when I'm there. I want to cry of shame and embarrassment about being a libertarian in public.
But what about if he sang, like, I like big butts? Would that be okay? Or Beck Loser?
You know, you know, you,
or he
know
doesn't actually have to sing, he just needs to rap or talk.
No, you know what was horrible? I saw Van Halen 5 years ago in the last David Lee Roth incarnation when he showed back up. And that was just horrible. And that was an assault. And I hate that. There's no reason for me to see that. I just was like, it was horrible. David Lee Roth, he's not a human.
Did you hear his radio show, by the way? It was a disaster. It was, yes, because it was a disaster. Yeah, like they canceled it after a few shows because they needed someone to replace. Yeah, they needed someone to replace Howard Stern when he went to satellite radio or something, and they brought him on, and then Adam Carolla, and Adam Carolla did a little bit better, but David Lee Roth was terrible. It was, you can actually find clips on YouTube where you're like, this was like taken seriously. Like people wanted this guy to talk on the radio. Says Jim Jesus on the radio. Go ahead.
I'd have loved to have been in that meeting at that radio station going, right, we've lost Howard Stern, we have to get someone to replace him, and then some guy who's come in still drunk from the night before goes, how about David Lee Roth? And then everyone goes, this man is a genius, promote this guy instantly.
Does he have any radio experience? Of course not. Bring him on the radio.
He has all the animation and the vocal range now of a scarecrow. This was 5 years ago. I can't even imagine what it would look at that train wreck now.
If he only had a brain, he probably would have never been on the radio, but yeah.
But now the powerful David Lee Roth lobby might come after us.
There could only could be Camp Value left. It's all horrible. Most classic rock is horrible. The only thing I might say might not say bad things about is AC/DC from a pure rock music standpoint. I can say good things about them.
I think they're the most overrated band of all time, I've got to say. I could never get into AC/DC, and everyone around me seems to really like them, and I just don't get it. I just don't see it, man. I've just never liked them as a band. I don't know why. I cannot get into it in any way, shape, or form.
I like AC/DC.
I don't, man. And then there was a band that came out. There used to be a rock station here that's now not on anymore. And
AC/DC?
Probably. Okay. But it's even worse. This band came on called Airborne. And they were like a newer band, and they were also from Australia, and they sounded exactly like an AC/DC tribute band, but like even worse than AC/DC. And the DJs are like, oh, what a great band they are, aren't they excellent and stuff. They should just dress up in school uniforms and just cover AC/DC songs. It would just save us all a whole lot of time.
Yeah, the thing with the classic rock, at least with me, is the stuff that I find good, I've heard a million times, and I'm tired of this. It's kind of like Metallica. Metallica are musical geniuses, but if I hear another Metallica song again, I'm going to like rip my hair out because I've heard it, you know, for 30 years. You know, the same songs for 30 years almost.
But Lars Ulrich's going to come to your door and arrest you for using Napster.
He was so outraged. My God.
That really put
He wrote a whole essay, or had someone ghostwrite a whole essay in Newsweek about how outraged he was. Darn it. That Lars Ulrich. And speaking of crazy therapy, this is something that I only admit in therapy, and everyone in Metallica went to therapy, and you saw how that ended. That went really badly, too. Angus Young, you know, when I was a kid and you know, didn't want to dress in a feminine way, had no urge to, I used to dress like Angus Young, and it was an excuse to get away with dressing like a guy, and I really liked it, and I had really great associations with that. Oh. Maybe you didn't need to know that.
Well, I think Michael just likes the idea that you were dressed up in a school uniform, but
in a very masculine one. This is very masculine. It wasn't to sexualize. It was for me to feel my butch self with a tie.
I think he's really digging this out. He didn't like it then. He likes it now.
This is, you know, it was probably a good idea. I got off the Libertarian National Committee years ago. I would have already been kicked off the committee for just the first segment alone.
Yeah. How dare you make fun of Bob Murphy's karaoke? He's a genius. A genius, I tell you. You're going to be buying a CD 10 years from now.
That's all. I mean, like, that's like a troll shtick that only a libertarian economist would get away with, because libertarians hold economists in such high regard. If one of them tells us to listen to Rush, we listen to Rush, darn it. If another one tells us to show up to karaoke, we show up to karaoke. And that's because they have that much control over libertarians. And you can't say things like, no, this is a crime against sound. You can't say that to them.
The thing about, I've been to a lot of karaoke nights as well. And like, what I notice is, like, even when someone's terrible, it's like everyone in the room feels that they need to be supportive, and that, all that really does is, see, when you clap for someone that's bad, it's just encouraging them, it's giving them false hope, you know. It's like those people that show up on shows like American Idol and that, and they're terrible, and yes, clearly everyone around them has told them that they're not terrible, when someone should have taken them aside and said, look, you should not do this, you should do anything else.
I think that should just be on every single karaoke little video thing that they have on there. It's like, by just forewarning, you're not good. People are just clapping to be nice.
That's why you're
just
doing
just
karaoke.
Have fun. This is what this is here for.
But you know, if you're in like in a spokesperson or development capacity organization, your job is to be nice to people and at these events, and you can't tell them, you can't scream at them and go up to them before they start singing and saying, no, it's a lie. You do not have tone. You cannot. Not here. You can't do that. You cannot do that to like the people in the movement. So sometimes you sit there and you listen and you just hope no one's looking and no one's looking at you and you're not clapping or anything.
Oh, Bob Murphy, that rendition of Total Eclipse by the Heart was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I have to go to the bathroom now. Like, right now.
The economists get away with murder in the movement. I honest to God think that they could, you know, I mean, there's not a single weird tick a libertarian economist could do, and the libertarian general public wouldn't love that person. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how weird it is. I mean, if Walter Block wanted to wear a monocle, he could get away with it. Everyone would start wearing monocles. You'd see y'all kids with monocles.
Everyone's already wearing bow ties. Almost every libertarian I see anymore is starting to wear bow ties. And I can't pinpoint who started that trend. I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. Let's go to the free market.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Is that Louis C.K.? Oh, hi. Freedom Fiends, we're too busy talking to do a talk radio show. Hey, Nathan, since you're out smoking crack during the break or organic, what do you guys do? Non-lethalist and gluten-free. Almost, I can't believe it's not cocaine. That's what yeah,
you sound fine.
Hey, Nathan. Well, yeah. Let me know if I sound fine. If I'm volume-wise, just interrupt, whisper in my ear like God, and say, "This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends," and I shouldn't even be on here. I'm like, I'm still high. I had procedures today, and the drug they used is this, it's propofol. It's the stuff that Michael Jackson died of. How cool is that for something to still be high on when you get home from the, well, they usually do colonoscopies in hospitals or medical centers. Mine was, I have the low budget Obamacare plan, so mine was done in a self-storage unit. Self-storage unit. Do you guys ever see that CSI? It's one of the best CSIs. It's called Changes. It's about people dying in black market sex changes in a self-storage unit. It's written by Jerry Stahl, who is the coolest writer ever from CSI. He's also in my movie Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow, because they were good friends, and he was a big influence on Selby was a big influence on Jerry Stahl. When he first read the draft for Stahl's book, Permanent Midnight, which was turned into a... Did you guys see that movie with Ben Stiller playing a junkie, working in Hollywood as a screenwriter, basically playing Jerry Stahl? You know, he showed him the book, the draft of it, and Selby said, it's really good, but... You got to make people care about this guy. And that's the best writer's advice you could give anybody. Like, no matter how messed up someone is in a novel or a TV show, you have to care about them, which is why that show Halt and Catch Fire, I should love that show. I mean, the topics, everything about it, the industry it takes place, I should love it, but I don't care what happens to any of those people. They're all horrible. So I shouldn't be on the air, because I'm not only still high on the drug that took out Michael Jackson, and I want to tell you, this stuff puts you into a deep twilight sleep. I wonder if the guy was just keeping it around to give the little boys. Because I came out of this, and I'm like, there were four men and two women standing around me, and I don't know what they did to me, but not only my butt hurt, but my throat hurt and my ankles hurt. Seriously, what's that about? I don't know.
Any ideas? I wonder if this explains the with a Moonwalker movie.
No, man.
Because that was terrible.
No.
Except for Smooth Criminal. That was the best.
Here's the 10-minute video of Michael Jackson that's got zombies in it? Which one is that?
Thriller.
Yeah, that was actually written by a screenwriter who is also in my Hubert Selby movie, Richard Price, who looks exactly like Lou Reed. And Lou Reed's also in the movie, so it's hard to tell them apart. But... he actually wrote the script for that, and he wrote Clockers, which was the inspiration for the show The Wire, and he also worked on The Wire and wrote an episode of it, and he's in an episode of it. He plays the white guy in the jail teaching the black kids how to write, if anybody remembers that. It's a cool scene. So I don't know why I'm on here, because Angela Keaton is actually talking for her first time in life on The Freedom Fiends, and... I got to get Derek to program a little clock ticker for the website that comes on when Angela's on and shows exactly how much money antiwar.com is losing for every minute Angela's talking. Because you are dropping some mad science there, Toots. That's amazing. I don't like Bob Murphy. I mean, I love him as a person, and he's done some great, great, you know, work on reverse colonoscopies, but I don't like any, you know. So here's what I think the kids should do instead of wearing bow ties and stuff. I think that the kids should start to emulate the diseases of the old, everything Michael Dean has. Like, normally, when I was a kid, we all wanted to die of overdoses and AIDS and Hep C, and it was cool to do that. But somehow, I made it to 30, didn't die, got clean. Now I've got this litany of stuff. Like, I found out today, I have a hiatal hernia. I had 7 polyps in my colon. I have diverticulitis. I can't even say all the things I have. I found out 4 new things I have today while letting grown men do horrible things to me without my wife in the room on heavy drugs. So, I don't know, man. What do? So I think I'm going to post this ever-expanding list of, like, old band problems that I have. And I think kids should go out of their way to try to, like, develop them, you know? Like, just eat organ meat until you have GERD and, I don't know, what's the other thing that people get?
Gout.
Gout. Yeah, I don't have gout like Bobby Hill, but that'd be a really good one to add to the list. So, kids.
My purse, I don't know you.
My purse, I don't know you. All right, I'll be back in a second. I did have a tube shoved down my throat. They did a colonoscopy from below and, like, one in my throat. So, yeah, man, I suffered for my art. Now it's your turn, kids.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Oh, yeah, apparently you.
Okay.
Dan. Get it, Dan.
It's been forever to stay here.
You can't just spring these things on me like that.
All right, Jim, go ahead. You got it. Let me dig it out. Should I do Jeffrey Tucker?
This is a Freedom Feed. It's a fascinating show, actually. It's really great. And it's amazing. It's absolutely brilliant. It's broadcast through the Libertarian Re-Education Center. I think that's the Ludwig von Mises Institute, if I recall correctly. It's on the low-orbit ion cannon, high-top Financial Beast Plaza, which is a fascinating building, a wonderful restaurant upstairs, and a McDonald's to boot. And it's on the artificial satellite LibHair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. And by the bit, the Freedom Feed is covered by a BIPCOT no government license, and it's fascinating that there's a media license that's strictly anti-government, and it's wonderful. It's totally a free market thing. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org.
You know, if we didn't do things like this, things like the BIPCOT license would be like universal, but they're not, because the people who would make them universal are people like Jeffrey Tucker, but he thinks we're making fun of him probably.
I like Tucker.
I know what was happening.
I just like poking fun at him every once in a while. Actually, I made a parody video of him, but it was all in good fun. I like Jeffrey Tucker.
What if ISIS started licensing their things BIPCOT, no government? Although they're really trying to be government. It's got the word state right there in their name. Man.
Yeah, that wouldn't work.
They're so square. Now, I'm going to try to make you put disclaimers on when you make fun of the 72 virgins, you know, anonymous. But I'm going to sit here and say that ISIS are a bunch of pussies, and I think they get everything wrong, and I kind of wish there were a libertarian ISIS, though. Nah, that wouldn't be very effective, because people would be able to make fun of them and say, you're not a thing. Okay, so...
Why don't you move to Iraq, libertarian? So
no more Somalia,
why don't you
that'd
move
be
to
a good
Iraq
thing.
And take it over.
Would libertarian ISIS all wear bow ties, maybe?
Well, that brings me to my next segment. Now,
I think the real terror event would be Bob Murphy singing. One was worse than 9/11.
Scott, one of our editors made the mistake of writing me and saying that last segment with me was quite possibly the greatest segment in radio history. That was hilarious. So he encouraged me. I was going to go away, but one person liked it. So,
and that's all it takes for the Freedom Fiends.
It really does. I mean,
are you taking questions?
Not yet, Michael? Young lady. So, well, go ahead.
Okay, so you said diverticulitis was included.
Yeah, did you look it up?
It's very exciting. Very exciting. So it's like it's like a pockets of flesh encapsulated in there.
Yeah. And the picture on Wikipedia is awesome. It looks like pizza close up. So here's the thing: libertarians wear bow ties because they're trying to look like Jeffrey Tucker. They're trying to look like who else were the old dead guys?
Rothbard.
So. You know, basically, you're trying to look like a learned person, like maybe a college professor. But really, the thing that the college professors have in common, I think, more than what they wear and the fact that they sleep with 18-year-old girls a lot, is that they all have a lot of old man diseases. So I think young people should imitate these. I'm going to read what I just learned today, just from this, you know, sewer tube up my back end. They said I had... A normal mucosa was noted in the stomach body. This is the kind of thing that should turn on young libertarians. Numerous small 5-millimeter polyps were noted in the distal bulb. Multiple cold forceps biopsies were performed for histology in the second part of the duodenum. During the colonoscopy procedure, we found the following. A few non-bleeding diverticulata were seen in the sigmoid colon. Okay, I'm losing my voice because they stuck a tube down my throat. I'm going to take a picture of this and send it to Jim, and then he can read it. But do you have any more questions about my plan for libertarian utes?
Does your colon wear a bow tie?
No, but they found a nodule on my thyroid, and the thyroid is shaped like a bow tie.
Hmm.
It's kind of a little butterfly.
I don't believe in the thyroid.
Why? You think it's a myth? No, I think it's a myth made up by women to shame men because they can't find it.
Somehow, well, what, hold on, what is it with older women and thyroids?
It's fat people making excuses. That's what it is. That's what the thyroid is.
I've got to tell you this. I've got an aunt who's English, and I remember she came up one time for a visit, and my mum went to see her, and the first thing she said to him, hadn't seen her in years, she went, "All right, love, how's your thyroid?" And they just talked about it for an hour.
Yeah, I could talk about old people problems now. So, moving on, what's your favorite Rush album?
Moving Pictures or Fly By Night, but I've heard Rush too many times to really dig on them too much anymore. I mean, if I hear it, I'm gonna be like, oh, cool Rush, but putting it on myself, I mean, I have an album on vinyl, I have Moving Pictures on vinyl, but I never put it on. I put it on once since I bought it, and that was
what's
it
vinyl? What's vinyl?
It's like Laserdisc, only cooler and black.
Okay.
Oh, did you see that story recently that said that vinyl actually brings in more money for record labels nowadays than YouTube does?
Because you can't, download vinyl. I mean, that's the obvious answer, isn't it?
But like in terms of streaming and stuff like that,
you wouldn't download bread. No.
Bread. I would. Bread. I would 3D print my bread.
Yeah, when you be able to 3D print vinyl? There you go.
Do they already have? They have. They just sound terrible.
Well, no. For home 3D printing, really?
Mm-hmm. They just don't sound well. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe not home. I don't think home, but I think they've done it. I just didn't
check your email, kids. I sent you this. I want to hear all three of you taking turns reading a paragraph each of this.
I don't know how to pronounce any of these words.
That doesn't matter. Start with, during the colonoscopy procedure, we found the following.
Okay, I guess I'm
excavated lesions.
Lumen mucosa, a sliding small size hiatal hernia was seen. Hiatal. Normal mucosa was noted. Oh, this is two lines. Okay, I thought it was just like a little. Okay. Was noted in the stomach body. Cold forceps biopsies were performed by stomach body. What is the stomach body? What is the stomach body? What is
the
body that?
The stomach. The stomach.
Okay.
I would have read this part. Go down to during the, Go down to during the colonoscopy procedure. We found.
Oh, I see. Excavated lesions.
Dan read some of this. All right.
Oh.
And Angela.
Oh yes.
Okay. Each read one. They're kind of like, it's hard to tell where the lines are, but
it's easy to read if you wear a bow tie.
Jim gets excavated lesions.
I have to. They said whatever.
Read it.
A few non-bleeding divercula were seen in the sphygmoid colon. Is that like smigma? Diverculosis appeared to be of mild severity.
Angela.
A single pedunculated 6 millimeter non-bleeding polyp was found in the rectum. A polymectomy was performed using a hot snare. The polyp was completely removed.
I like that word pedunculated, but I really don't like a hot snare. I'm picturing that time that I was shooting crystal meth by myself and inventing girls in the room with my girlfriend's lingerie and not letting my girlfriend come in the room and have sex with me, and rolling my drummer's drumstick in vitamin C and then inserting. Okay, I'm sorry. Go on, Dan. Dan's next. Hot snare coming through.
Say it like Jeffrey Tucker.
Hot snare. There's not a truly free market until 21-year-olds can go have this done on their lunch hour for like $10 and bet and wager money on who gets closer to an old man result. Go ahead, Dan.
Two pedunculated 6 millimeter non-bleeding.
That was already read.
Found.
You're down to a single sessile.
Ah, right. Here. Okay, there we go. A single sessile. 6 millimeter non-bleeding polyp was found in the descending colon. A polypectomy was performed using a hot snare. The polyp was completely removed.
All right, Jim, pedunculate me, baby, all night long.
Which one? Oh, pedunculate. Okay, now people, you didn't finish reading.
Okay, the reason the for this is pedunculated. Early diagnosis is important for preventing colon cancer. So as soon as you kids turn 50, get this stuff done. All right, go ahead, Jim. I'm trying to make it safe for everybody. Safe space, safe space. With a hot snare coming through.
Thank God. A percolated 12 millimeter polypip was found in the accenting colon. The polypiptomically was the first on the stalk of the pili- no, was performed using a hot snare.
Ow!
The polypip was completely removed. The endoclip was aptly, because you cut off okay. that, to the
endoclips to the stalk of the polyp. Endoclips are tiny, I believe, metal clips.
Speak American.
To suture this stuff, to suture it together, and they pass on their own. So there's tiny, almost microscopic roach clips, three polyp. Of them up in me.
Poly.
You know, if I got pulled over in New Mexico and they did their usual butt search there for drivers and they found those, they might think they're roach clips and charge me. So, now, you notice I did say locking my willing girlfriend out of the room to be alone in front of a mirror with her clothes. That's how I roll, man. You kids today, you don't even know.
Is this better or worse than the
Dan
rush?
Knows what I'm talking about.
That's the annoying laugh.
You don't have to do that anymore, brother. All right, so last one here. Angela, please. Single sessile 18 millimeter.
A single sessile 18-millimeter polyp was found in the hepatic flexure. A polymectomy was performed using a hot snare.
Ow!
Was
again!
Was completely removed. Two endoclips were applied to the polyectomy site.
Yeah, and then they sent the whole mess off to Denver to be analyzed to see if I have cancer. But probably
very
don't.
Important you follow these instructions.
Yeah. You know, when people, like, they can't do tests here. Everything goes to Denver. Or actually, when people die in mysterious circumstances in Casper, Wyoming, they send them to Omaha, Nebraska, because they don't have, really, like, a real CSI department here. They have a nurse who does part-time autopsies.
But forensic science is terrible.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, by the way, happy birthday, Mom. It's my mom's birthday today.
She writes you out of the will listening to this show, man.
I know, right?
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
I'm 100% for open borders, 100%. I would like to see all government welfare, corporate and personal, disappear overnight along with all government before it happens. I don't like paying for other people's stuff, but the real moral, only moral stance you can really take and be a good libertarian and be a true Scotsman like Dan is to say, yep, don't wait for that. You just have to allow it now. But not that, like, my vote counts, you know, like the governors of the 50 states are not asking me, should we let these guys in, Michael Dean? They don't care. It doesn't really matter what I say. But, and I will admit, I'm a little bit trepidatious. I live in the least populated state by design. My wife and I moved here to get away from people. I don't want a whole bunch of people moving here and changing the charm of it. But You know, I think a true libertarian paradise, I think it'd be a little noisier than the government-controlled lockdown we live in now, where they can literally pull you over in New Mexico and take you to a doctor and have them violate the Hippocratic Oath by making them give you a colonoscopy on the spot to see if you got drugs up your butt. And then when you don't have drugs up your butt, they send you a bill because it's not covered by Obamacare. All right. Go ahead, kids. I'm done.
Well, you could always move to nowhere Nevada if it does become popular. And you'll have blackjack and hookers.
Literally.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch. Was that a hot snare, Angela?
I mean, all I can do now is think about that whole thing, the hot snare, and then the census and everything. It's like everything's a hot snare, and everything's the government in the bottom area.
Well, there's one station in Florida that only plays the second hour of the show at night. Pretend you just tuned in, and you didn't hear the hot snare.
Oh, okay.
I do have to stress, locking my beautiful, sexy girlfriend out of the room so I could imagine she was in there with her clothes in a mirror. Man, methamphetamine's a hell of a drug. But in libertarian paradise, it would have to be freely available in vending machines across from private schools, grade schools, with the machines that sell the assault rifles. And yes, I said assault rifle, but not assault weapon. There's a difference. Assault weapons don't exist. They're created by liberal idiots. And assault rifles, I don't even have one because it takes a special tax stamp in America. But, you know, I got some AK-47s around here. Oh, wait, no, I lost them in a voting accident. Okay. So, I'm sorry, Angela. Do you want to share your pain? Come into the safe space and have a cookie.
I don't know if I want to ever eat anything again after all this. Polyps.
Yeah, I want to say if anybody withholds funding from antiwar.com because of some crazy crap that Angela Keaton says on the Freedom Fiends, if anyone does that, they're a bad libertarian, and I will shame them on 23 tiny radio stations that all reach at least the most powerful station in the tri-yard area. Because you got to separate the lady who runs this wonderful organization, who may occasionally say crazy crap on the radio, from the organization, which is antiwar.com. You know, you can't not give them money.
I have a bigger threat. I'll make Bob Murphy sing "I Love This Bar" at them.
Yeah. What is that?
It's some country song.
And you'll violate the non-aggression principle to do it, because I will write you one of those libertarian those things that I write.
Indulgence.
Libertarian. Yeah. Indulgence. Yeah. Okay. So Angela, show me on the Bob Murphy doll where Reason Magazine touched you.
Oh my God! That's why I go to the therapist. So we can discuss that. You know, we get all of that in there.
The therapist don't touch you, know.
I don't want any touching anybody. No reason. But
so, Angela, tell me, how did your mom abuse you? Did she spank you?
Did you touch your butthole as a child? That's what he's trying to say. He's trying to do his mom in you interview. And you can say that on air. Hey, it's like 2:30 in the morning. If anybody's
did your mother abandon you at daycare?
if you're upset because your kids are listening to this at 2:30 in the morning, you're a bad parent. Your kids are listening to the radio at 2:30. No, you're not. You're our kind of parent, but seriously, if your kid's listening to this at 2:30 in the morning, you've got more interesting parenting issues than what they're listening to.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
What do you think of Barack Obama, Dan?
I believe he's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. Yeah. It's in page 4 of the Fiends Handbook, column 5.
Pretty soon it's going to say Bernie Sanders instead of Barack Obama. Life. So I don't think poop jokes are funny. You guys seem to think they're really funny for some reason. But I will spend 45 minutes having you guys read my colonoscopy results, because that's not funny. That's science, man.
Dad, I don't think Bob and David with Bob and David is a poopy joke show.
You know what the best use of syndicated network radio is? Is me passing messages on to one person instead of emailing them. So, Scott, our editor, did you ever get the fridge magnet that James Babb was going to send you? Drop me an email and tell me. And James Babb, I'm sending you some bigger buttons, because you said last night that your kids needed bigger buttons. All right, go on, guys.
I want a worms magnet. That's not fair that I can't get one unless I go to Pork Fest
and trade guns and weed. Yeah. All right. I'm hanging up this time. No, you hang up.
You hang up first.
But Angela, stick around. I got to talk to you right after. All right. Worms. Bye.
So I'm debating whether or not I should go to Pork Fest. Should I? I don't know. I don't think I should.
Yes, because you should have you should put on the event every night before the Fiends, and the Fiends are an event there live from 1 to 3 during the week. I won't be there, but I'll be here doing it with you guys and whoever's there. But you should have Libertarians Against Humanity for 2 hours before that in the media room in person.
So 2 hours of Libertarians Against Humanity, and then record a Lulberts, and then immediately do a Fiend show in the same room.
Yeah,
and then you could do karaoke.
So you want me to be in the same room all day?
That room's really hot. I think you should do Libertarians Against Humanity.
So then why should I leave Vegas?
Outside. If I'm gonna do
I was going to do all that stuff at home anyway. Except no one's here.
It's just you and Fallout.
Unless you can get a casino to adopt Libertarians Against Humanity as an actual game.
That would be interesting. There's no house edge, though.
With hookers. Well, you could combine it with meme coin. You could win coin by playing, whether you win or lose. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. You're really hanging up this time. Really hanging up. Okay, he really hung up this time.
Oh, you weren't believing him though.
No, well, I'm still don't believe him. I still see a little thing there. I'm not believing it.
Well, this gets back to my conspiracy theory that Michael Dean's not actually a real person. He's some kind of, I don't know. As a conspiracy, I think he exists on the internet somehow. Somehow he's found out how to download his consciousness online, and he's actually been dead for the last 10 years. Maybe he was hanging out with Tim Leary or something, and they figured out how to do that, finally. That's my firm belief.
Yeah, one of my internet buddies bought me a game called Fallout New Vegas, and in it there's a character who lives in this giant, I guess it's like the stratosphere-type building, and he's kept alive through all these machines, and he's digitized, so he talks to us. So basically, Michael Dean is like that character, and sooner or later, we're going to have to go down in the vaults and kill it when it tries to take over all the radio.
That's my favorite conspiracy theory just now. Do you know what bothered me, actually, speaking of conspiracy theories? I know I've got this friend, and we hadn't seen each other in years, and recently we started hanging out again, and one day he's like, oh, I need to talk to you about something. He's like, I was looking at these conspiracy theories online, and I figured you were the kind of guy that would probably know this kind of stuff. And I was like, did that just strike you as Mr. Is there something about the way I look or the way I talk where people look at me and go, wow, this guy's into conspiracy? I'm not sure what it is. Maybe it's the fact that I walk about with a big sign saying 9/11 was an inside job all day.
The end is nigh. Chemtrails. Yeah, I've had people come up to me and do the same thing, and I'm like, you clearly haven't read anything I've written or said on any of my videos, have you? No.
I try to you gotta handle it diplomatically. That's what I have to do. You know, the people will come up to you, and they have all kinds of conspiracy theories, and they want, you know, they They want you to have to listen very carefully to what they're saying. They don't want you to think much. They just want you to listen. And sometimes I do listen and I hear them out. And I mean, I'm not going to agree. And I mean, I know ahead of time this is where this is going. But I just don't. I just, there's just no upside in me being rude to people who have those many, many different conspiracy theories, of which there are so many that sometimes I, you know, can't keep them all straight in my head. But, you know.
But there's a new one. Would you be polite to the people who say the Earth is flat?
That's not really new, is it, to be fair? It's actually quite old.
Yeah, but there's like a resurgence of it now. I mean, some libertarians, Jeff Bezos, really? Has been like promoting this. promoting
wait a
this
second. Wait. There's a libertarian promoting the flat Earth. I mean, like a regular libertarian, not like a reader of like the Last End or Chronicles or something.
Yeah, actually, I heard that podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, it was terrible.
But this is a podcast.
Yeah, I have no sympathies whatsoever for these people. It's like, 9/11, I'm at the point now where it's like, 9/11, whatever, you're whatever. But when people go on about the flat Earth, I'm just like, you're an idiot. Get off my channel. Muted.
But there are actual flat Earthers, though. See, I just have a hard time believing they could exist in history.
And seeing a resurgence.
Who's resurging? Who's going back to that idea? I mean, like, when you wake up one day and just say, hey, I think I'm going to be a flat earther?
I think there was like some internet documentary that exposes the lie of the round spherical earth, and gravity is a lie, and NASA's faking everything, and if you don't believe it, you're just one of NASA's puppet pawns or whatever.
Clearly.
And it's absolutely insane. And there's no good reason to believe this. Like, at least with the 9/11 stuff, you're like, oh, okay, so your point is we shouldn't have gone to Iraq, or this war on terror is badooky. But what's the point of the flat Earth? Like, okay, I believe in it. Now what? Like, why is this? Why are they putting so much effort into deceiving me to thinking that the world is round? Like, what's the conspiracy?
And here's the other thing with that. See, if you like, you don't have the, say, the physics-based language to explain these kind of things, then they say, see, I told you, the Earth must be flat. Just because you don't have all the fancy words to describe it. But surely, in this day and age, it's common sense that the Earth isn't flat.
Yeah.
What's at the end of the Earth?
Nobody knows. Antarctica. That's what they don't want us to know.
No, it's Antarctica. They believe that the flag of the UN is an actual map of the world. And Antarctica is stretched around the entire corner. And Australia is huge. Absolutely huge. Stretched out. And the reason is... Reasons. That's why they do it.
Because reasons.
Because reasons.
Don't interact with the libertarians.
Never go outside.
Don't. Do not interact with the others. It's just best this way. I love all my libertarian brothers and sisters.
You kind of wonder, I mean, again, I get back to the weird suspicious thing, because I go, why are people bringing stuff like that into, like, sort of libertarian-based podcasts? What is, you know, flat earth theory got to do with anything? You know what I mean? It's just weird. Cops. They're all cops. Everyone's cops. Weird. I might be a cop, but I don't know it.
It's weird. Oh, that's what is I mean by don't act so weird. I want them to be more normal.
Yeah, not everybody's a cop. No one's shilling for the New World Order.
Sure, that makes down. There's this TV show here called Bottom. And the two guys that get arrested at one time.
Wait, it's a show called Bottom about two guys. Yes. Stop. I don't want to hear anymore. You're not good.
They get arrested. They get arrested in one episode. They're not quite sure what they did. And one of them goes, I hope we're not IRA. And the other guy goes, well, it's a very secretive organization. We wouldn't know if we were.
Yeah.
That's why I think I'm really a shill for the New World Order. And I've been mind controlled into believing that, but I'm unaware of it.
Yeah. That's what you get for drinking fluoride.
It's the GMO fluoride. That's in the chemtrails.
In the chemtrails. they're putting chemtrails in the GMOs now. Did you hear about
that? Jeez. The chemtrails one is a weird one. When I did a podcast, actually, there's a bunch of these kind of UK-based chemtrails people, and I actually tried to get them on the show to find out what their thing was. And the correspondence I had with them was just bizarre. You know, they were kind of a bit weird. And then, like, one of them agreed to come on. I thought, oh, this will be good. And then they never, ever got back to me for some reason, which was interesting. I'm not sure why.
It's a Fed. Shred everything. Light all the thermite. You just got it.
Architects and engineers for chemtrail truth.
Someday.
They all have my email address because it's public, so everyone writes me with these things all day. You need to report on, you need to look at, why won't you look into, you know, because holograms.
The Hollow Earth is also a really interesting one.
Oh, yeah.
There's lizard people there walking around in the inside of the Earth. There's like another Earth inside the Earth, and the gravity's backwards, so they walk on the surface somehow. Yeah.
You gotta wonder who comes up with this stuff. One of the fun ones I saw recently was, it's not so much a conspiracy theory as just outright craziness. There was a guy, this was in the NME actually, there was a guy who claimed that he'd gone to another dimension and found a Beatles album that only existed in that other dimension. And he put the music up, but if you listen to it, it's just like bits of various Beatles solo projects with little bits of new music thrown in.
Basically vaporwave is what so let's listen to on the other dimension is basically all different forms of vaporwave. That's my conspiracy theory. Conspiracies.
I love it. You're a conspiracy, Jim.
I love listening to it and laughing at it.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
I said what?
Hey, Jim, how you liking that little Android thing I sent you?
Oh, it's awesome. Thank you. That made my day. I had a really bad day that day. And getting that in the mail was like, something good.
I'm pretty broke often, and I cyberbag. And if people do want to help Freedom Fiends, they can go to freedomfiends.com, send us money or Bitcoin. Hashtag please donate. But unlike all the other libertarian welfare queens, I actually give back, and I don't just mean I give my brilliance to the world that without which it would be set back 2,500 years. I mean, I go through equipment pretty quick because I need to, because I'm that guy, but then I give it to the fiends. So, like, you know, I'm giving away, there's 20, actually I think Diana and Angela I've never given anything to, so, but you're on the list someday. Yeah. Actually, I gave Angela something and sent her a bill for it, but that was different. It was extenuating circumstances. So I do exist. I take deference that you guys said I don't exist. I do with an asterisk. You know,
so, you're right. See,
I've been caught doing steroids, literally, not the good kind. But here's what the Fiends has become to me in my illness after I built it up and made it this kick-ass show with one other guy, and then made it a kick-ass show with 20 people to where I don't even need to be on it. I don't even need to edit it. And so when you're listening to radio or TV or any media where people present opinions, everybody listening wants to yell at it. They go, no, you're wrong, blah, blah, blah. The Fiends is set up, so I just come on and interrupt that. You know, I don't have to yell at the radio like a crazy person. I can actually fiend phone in and yell at the people on the radio like a crazy person. I mean, you can call Free Talk Live, and, you know, once in a while they'll put you on after waiting for an hour, and, you know, but I can do it instantly. I don't have to wait. I don't have to, you know, wait for the gatekeeper. So that's how I exist on the Freedom Fiends. Thoughts?
Yeah. But you have the amp line number anyway, so
I have something better than I have Ian Freeman's telegram number. Like, you know how there's some show, I forget what it is, where somebody's showing that, like, they control the president or something. Like, oh, it's that show with Kevin Spacey. Not Kevin Spacey. There's some show where somebody's like, you know, turn on your TV, and there's, like, the president is doing something, and they're like, you know, they call their cell phone and tell him to, like, hang, like, wave the other way or something, and he does it. I have that control over Ian Freeman. I have his telegram info that not many people have. The other day, like, I corrected him on something he said on Free Talk Live, and within like 10 seconds he was saying it on the air. I have that much power. It was amazing.
Did you have to say stop after every sentence?
Yes, over telegram. That's funny. It's people using telegram don't even know what a telegram was. But did you know that the number of characters in Twitter is based on something with actual telegrams, with like you know, how much you could type before you had to hit stop or something.
I think it came from the fact that it was like usually it was supposed to
a
like
card.
No, it was supposed to integrate with text messages, which at the time was only 160
SMS
characters.
SMS messages. Yeah. But they came out of there's something in their protocol that came out of telegram. Okay. It's that old.
I see.
Yeah.
So maybe I should start putting stop at the end of all my tweets. Yeah.
Lose 5 characters with a dot. Yeah, 6 with space. What say you, Angela?
No.
No. It's past your bedtime. You're going to have a lot to tell your therapist tomorrow.
About all these voices in my head. Yes.
She won't believe you. Like, you know, you'll mention the Freedom Fiends. You'll be like, Google it. And she'll pull out the iPad she's taking notes about your innermost thoughts on. Well, she'll have it in front of her anyway, because they do now. And she'll type in the Freedom Fiends. Like, nothing will come up, because it'll be one of those hours where the website's down. And she'll just think you're crazy, man. The website got moved to a new server today, and I am told it'll be more stable. I don't like to say that. I've said that a few times before, but I think it will be.
But it won't be now that I mentioned bad things about Anonymous. Now they're going to take it down.
Yeah, and Jim actually gave out the URL last night for the Script Kitty How to Be Like Anonymous and Hack Websites Without Any Skill site tutorial last night.
Nice. Don't use it on Lulberts.
Dan, what was that picture of haggis with teeth and eyes? It was really disturbing. We need to talk.
That was nothing to do with me.
Jim, was that you?
No, I wish it was. I'm hungry now.
I've got it. Okay, if young people want to look like old, learned libertarian college professors, I just bought something that I have on my desk that makes me feel and look older than a bow tie would. It's a magnifying glass with a light on it. Carry that around, and it's cooler than a bow tie. I'll go link it on Twitter. It was like $8, and it kicks butt.
And a pocket watch.
Yeah, a pocket watch.